Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Basic WebSphere Transformation Extender Debugging. Today's presenters are Arun Ramamurthy and Phil Van Balen. Arun has been working with and supporting WebSphere Transformation Extender for 10 years. Phil has been supporting WebSphere Transformation Extender for 9 years. Their support duties involve troubleshooting WebSphere Transformation Extender on multiple platforms. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Phil.
Thank you, Joseph, and welcome everyone to Basic WebSphere Transformation Extender Debugging. Our presentation is intended for beginners to WebSphere Transformation Extender. And Joseph, can you please move to slide number 2? Okay, today's agenda, we're going to cover basic debugging techniques for the Design Studio components, Map Designer, Type Designer, and the Database Interface Designer. We're also going to go over the utilities, the Map Debugger, the Map Profiler, and the DTX Page Utility. Please move to slide number 3. We will then move into the launcher and go over the DTX.ini, the management console, the launcher monitor, and then finally we'll wrap up with some information on contacting technical support and getting your issues resolved as quickly as possible. Please move to slide number 4. Okay, well, debugging Map Designer errors. Now, some common Map Designer errors are the following, and these are just common Map Designer errors you would run into. They're not all of them, but they're just a few. First one would be a return code 12, which is a source not available, and that typically means an incorrect file name or command for a source may be specified. A return code 9 is a target not available, and that would mean an incorrect file name or path for a target may be specified. That would be the output. A return code 8 is one or more inputs was invalid, and that typically occurs when an entire input object was invalid. A return code 53 is an open audit failure, and that would mean that the audit file was not accessible. And then finally, a return code 30 is a fail function aborted map, and that occurs when the fail function is used within the map to cause the map execution to cease. Please move to slide number 5. A return code 12, the source not available, that indicates that the map was not able to successfully retrieve or validate the specified input data. Now, it could be a file, a database input, WebSphere MQ, or any of the various adapters in WTX. A return code 9, target not available, is similar to a source not available, except it references output data rather than input data. Now, if you go ahead and run a map from the command server, you'll get a result window like the one shown in the screenshot, and you can see there that the message underneath the map name says source not available. Okay, now that would be a return code 12. Please move to slide number 6. Now, the first step when debugging return code 12 or return code 9 would be to turn on the audit log in the map settings. And when you open up the map settings in the Map Designer, you get the window shown in the screenshot there. And where it's highlighted, you can see that the map audit switch is turned to on, and the burst audit section has the execution set to always. Now, you can also do a summary audit, but it's probably best to use the burst audit execution set to always. And if you look a little further down, you have the audit location, and the directory is the map, the file name is a default, and the action is to create. And those are the settings that you have to turn on in order to generate the audit log and see what's causing the return code 12. Please move to slide number 7. Now, the audit log will indicate which card is causing the error and what adapter is being used. Now, there's a little snippet of an audit log at the bottom of this page, and you can see the execution summary. And that shows a map return of 12. So that's the source not available return code. And you can see also the message section says source not available. In this scenario, the file adapter is being used. If you look in the source report below the execution summary, it says card equals one and adapter equals file. So we know it's the file adapter for input card number one. The message is source not available, and that's telling us that that XML file can't be found or can't be accessed. Okay, now, if this was a situation where it was the database adapter, what you would have to do is use a minus T in the card's command field, and that would generate a database trace. That's not just for database adapters. Any of the other adapters, the FTP adapter, WebCRMQ, whatever, you would use a minus T to generate an adapter trace and get more detailed information. Please move to slide number 8. Okay, and here we can see how you create an adapter trace. And again, this can be used for either return code 12 or return code 9, target not available. And to create the adapter trace, just use the minus T in the card's adapter command line. In the screenshot there, we're looking at a edited input card, okay, and the highlighted section shows the adapter in the source field, which is a database, and the command field has a minus T, and that's indicating that we are going to generate a database trace. Now, once you go ahead and set this, you would click OK on the card and then recompile the map and run it, and that would generate the trace. Please move to slide number 9. Okay, now, we have an example trace here, an example database trace. They have a default extension of DBL, which stands for Database Log File. Traces for other adapters are of a similar nature in that they provide detailed adapter-specific information, which is much more than what the audit log provides. The audit log is kind of like a high-level summary of what the error is. And if you want to dig down further with the adapters, then you would generate an adapter-specific trace. And in this particular one, we can see that the database type is ODBC. It gives us a database source or a data source for the ODBC connection. And as you move down the trace, you eventually get to the point where you see the error. And in this case, it's return status minus 1005 failed to connect to the database. And in this particular instance, from this point, you would move on to the ODBC connection itself and verify that that, in fact, is a good connection. Please move to slide number 10. Okay, one or more inputs was invalid. This is a return code 8, and it's a typical input validation error. Now, for most types of validation errors, the data audit settings can be used. And in this situation, you can specify that you want to audit or you use the data audit settings to determine the problem. And you can specify that you want to audit a particular object by including that object in the organizer window on the data audit settings tab. Now, you have to become familiar with the organizer, which is part of the map designer. And in this situation, you can see the screenshot on the left is the organizer, and it's got a number of tabs. Okay, one of them is the data audit settings tab. And in this case, the data will only be audited if the map settings have the map audit on, data equals always, and the settings audit data option set to a value other than never. Okay, and off on the right, the screenshot there shows the map settings and what needs to be set in order to generate data with a data audit. And the information will be put into the audit log. Okay, please move to the next slide, please. Here we are looking at an example of doing a map data audit, and we are using EDI data as an example. And in this particular example, the N1 segment has invalid data. There are two plus signs together within the segment. Please move to the next slide. Slide number 12. In this screenshot here, we're looking at actually doing or setting up the data audit. In this particular case, we have an 850 transaction in the input card, and what we've done is drag the 850 group in the type of the card and dragged it into the organizer. And then in the other sections of the organizer, you have track, details, and item data, and we've set those to error. Okay, once you have the data audit set up, then you're going to have to recompile and run the map. Please move to slide number 13. And once you run the map, it'll generate the audit log, and this is basically what it'll look like. As you scan down the screenshot here, you see on the right you have some status codes, E07 and E01, and they are basically giving you what the errors are that the audit encountered. Now, the actual meaning of those errors you can find in the help with Design Studio. And the other really nice thing about using the data audit is it can also give you the text of what exactly is wrong with the data. And if you look underneath status, you'll see the HTML tags there and open and closing tags surrounding the bad data, which is the two plus signs. Now, you can also check for validation errors by using the map input validation trace. That works as well. Sometimes you could use that by itself, or you could use it in conjunction with the data audit. But the input validation trace is a little bit more cumbersome, and it takes some getting used to and learning how to read it and how to pick up where the bad data is. So it's probably a good idea to develop your knowledge and experience with the data audit settings. Please move to slide number 14. Okay, a return code 53 is an open audit failure. Now, an open audit failure will occur when the path specified in the MAPS audit settings, which we already looked at in MAPS settings, is either incorrect or the specified directory does not exist. Now, this obviously is an important error, because if you can't generate an audit log, you're not going to be able to troubleshoot anything else in the map. So to correct in return code 53, verify the path is correct for the audit location in map settings, and also that the directory exists and has appropriate permissions. Please move to slide number 15. Okay, return code 30 is fail function aborted map, and this is a function that you would use to intentionally fail a map. Okay, now the fail function, it can be used in a rule to fail a map. The fail function can be used with a user-specified text message and or the last error message and or last error code functions. And there are two examples in this slide. The first one shows the fail function, and this map failed as hard-coded user-specified data. And the second example is fail along with the last error code function and last error message. Now, in either of these instances, the error code or the error message or the user-specified data would be returned to the audit log of the failing map. So if you get a map that fails and using the fail function, you would just go to the audit log, and then you would see what your specified message was or what the error code or error message generated by WTX are. Okay, please move to slide number 16. Type tree analysis messages. Okay, when constructing a type tree, an analysis must be performed to check integrity of the tree. The type tree analysis can result in errors or warnings. If errors are encountered, refer to the documentation for hints regarding what the problem is. Now, we have an example here of an L101 error, and that has a description of this group must have at least one component. And it would give you the group name, the group being a type in the tree that you created. And basically what that's telling you is that this particular group needs to have components within it in order for the type tree analysis to complete successfully. Okay, and there you have the hint for this error. If you want to map this group, add components. If you do not want to map it, make it a category. Now, there are multiple errors like L101. And if you encounter any of them, obviously the first thing to do is to check the documentation and see what the hint is and what the recommended resolution is. Now, if the analysis results in warnings, they can either be addressed or they can be left alone, as they will not interfere with the map compile. Please move to slide number 17. Okay, the database interface designer. A common error when creating an MDQ file, which is the type of file that you create in the database interface designer. Now, when you create the MDQ file in a new database definition, it's possible that you will have an inability to connect to the database. If this problem is encountered, the trace should be used. And to use the trace, you click the trace icon to enable it. And you can see there in the screenshot, there's a little icon of a clock, and in this instance, it's depressed, indicating that it's turned on. In some of the older versions of WTX, there was a different icon. It was a ladybug, but this particular screenshot is from 8.2, and I presume that moving forward, the clock icon will probably remain the icon to turn on the trace. Okay, please move to slide number 18. Okay, once the trace is enabled, you can double-click the tables icon to try and view the generate type tree from tables window. And you can see off on the left, the tables icon is circled. Okay, if the window opens, you have a successful database connection. If it does not open, the connection failed. At this point, the trace can be checked for error information. Okay, and there we see in the screenshot the generate type tree from tables window open, so we know we had a successful connection. Please move to slide number 19 and take a look at the trace. Okay, now if you had gotten an error, or even if you just wanted to check out the successful connection, what it looked like in the trace, you can use the toggle trace file icon, which is directly next to the trace icon. And what you simply do is, again, you click the toggle icon to view the trace, and you can see there that it is depressed. And once it's depressed, the trace file will pop up. And in this particular instance, you can see that it was a successful connection. And so everything is good to go in this particular instance. Okay, please move to slide number 20. Okay, WTX also provides utilities to debug or just to get your maps running better. Okay, one of them is the map debugger, and that can be used to determine if a particular logic coded is working as expected. This tool helps to check how data is parsed through the logic by the engine. It has a step-in and step-out feature, so you can step in and step out of rules like a typical debugger. We also have the DTX page utility, and that's used for getting nominal page settings that can be set for a map. DTX page utility typically works best on larger maps. Its usefulness diminishes the smaller a map is. It's just something to keep in mind. And then we have the DTX profiler, and that can be used to tune map performance and check where the most time is spent by the map. And basically what it does is it will generate a report, and you can see how much time is being spent in a particular function or a particular rule or different areas of the map. And so that can be very useful if you have a map running slow and you want to see what's taking up most of the time. And again, there's more information and details on all of these utilities in the WebSphere Transformation Extender help. Please move to slide number 21. Okay, at this point, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Arun Ramamurthy, who will handle the launcher debugging information.
Thank you, Phil. Hello, everyone. My name is Arun Ramamurthy, and today I'll be talking about some basic debugging techniques to troubleshoot problems encountered with Launcher. In order to narrow down and get more information on the problems that you're encountering with Launcher, we can enable Launcher traces and logs in the dtx.ini file, which is the configuration file. We can look into the Launcher log file, and we can make use of the WTX monitoring tools like the management console and launcher monitor, which can help to check on any map errors, warnings, etc. Please move to slide 22. Let us see how we can enable the componentsystem.txt or the msl.txt and look into that. The componentsystem.txt file is a launcher log that can help us to provide more information on the launcher problem that you're encountering. It can also point to the map errors or warnings that are used as watches. In order to enable the componentsystem.txt in the dtx.ini, please go to the section launcher log equals EWSC and remove the semicolon in front of the entry, and then save the ini and restart the launcher. Doing so will create a file named the componentsystem.datetime.txt, or if you're using separate launcher processes, it would create a file with the name of the MSL, datetime.txt, in the logs folder of the WTX home directory. Looking into that file, you can try and narrow down the problem that you may be encountering. And the options EWSC here in this entry refer to the different log types that can be enabled, where E refers to the error information, W to the warning information, S to the startup information, and C to the configuration summary. Please move to slide 23. Here are a couple of examples from the componentsystem.txt. Example 1 shows a successful startup of the launcher with the date and time when it started. Example 2 also shows a successful startup of the launcher, but there is an error information for one of the map runs. This indicates the launcher itself had no problems. It started successfully and it was okay. But a particular map instance had an error And from the error information, you can see the return code is 8, which is one or more inputs is invalid, and the map has one input and one output card. So basically, you know the problem is with that input card and input file. And to further debug and narrow down the problem, you would need to enable the map input trace or the data audit settings, and then look into them to further troubleshoot the problem with the input. Please move to slide 24. Here are a couple of more examples from the componentsystem.txt file. Example 3 shows startup failure with the launcher, and the error information is unknown error, maybe memory. Now, this error information does not provide us with much information to debug or narrow down the problem. Typically, this kind of problem could occur due to a host of reasons, like if a resource registry variable is being used in the launcher trigger and the resource registry has not been set up correctly, or if you have recently received a patched binary and that has not been applied correctly, or if you're using any third-party adapters in the launcher trigger like databases, MQ, etc., and the third-party client libraries are not in the path, or if the correct version of the client library is not in the path. Like, for example, if you're using a 64-bit install of WTX, you need to make sure that 64-bit version of the client libraries are in the path and library paths, else you may encounter problems. So in order to resolve this kind of an error with the launcher, you can go to the different steps and check them and try to see if you can find the problem from there. Like, you can check the resource registry and check if everything is okay with that. You can check if any recently received patch binaries are okay, have been applied correctly, or if the client libraries are all in the path and the library paths. If none of them help you to resolve the problem, there's additional logging that can be enabled for the launcher resource manager and the connections manager that can help to see the exact sequence of steps that the launcher may be taking, and we can try and track down from that logs. Example 4 also shows a startup failure with the launcher, but here the error information is a little more clearer and better, where it indicates a problem is occurring due because there's a mismatch between the MMC and the MSL, MMC being the compiled map component. And typically this kind of problem occurs when change has been made to the map recently and you have deployed just the map, not the MSL. In order to resolve this problem, you need to redeploy both the MMC and the MSL, and that should take care of the problem. Please move to slide 25. In order to further debug on the launcher problems, if the information presented in the componentsystem.txt is not helpful to trace down the problem with the launcher, additional logging for the launcher resource manager and connections manager can be enabled in the INI file. And to do that, in the dtx.ini file, go to the respective section like the launcher or the resource manager or the connections manager and set the logging entries to 1 from 0 and then save the INI and restart the launcher. Doing so will create a log file called as componentsystem.datetime.log, or if you're using separate launcher processors, it would be the name of the msl.datetime.log file, and this would be in the logs folder of the WTX home directory. Basically, these logs are enabled only on the request of tech support. The reason being, these logs could be huge and could be difficult to read and understand unless you have past experience reading them. And if you have generated these logs and have some knowledge about looking into these logs, you would basically look for any errors or failures with respect to the component that you're looking for. Like, if you're looking for any launcher errors, in the componentsystem.log file, you would look for entries with DTX, LN, any number ending with E for error, W for warning, F for fatal, etc. And then track down from there and try to narrow down what problem is the launcher encountering, like if it's encountering any init triggered problems to trigger on an input trigger, and if it's an input trigger, that try to trace down if it's an MQ database, etc. If it is, then you know there's a client library that probably is not accessible or is not in path, etc. And that's how you can try and narrow down the issue. Also, please note, enabling any kind of logging with the launcher and tracing can affect performance, and you need to exercise caution whenever you enable any kind of logging. And you need to make sure to disable the logging once the problem has been identified and the problem has been resolved. Please move to slide 26. to debug errors that are encountered with Java and Java-based adapters like JMS and Java class, you can enable the JNI tracing in the DTX.ini file. To do this in the DTX.ini file, go to the JNI trace layer trace section and remove the semicolon in front of the entries and set the switch to on and the file to a valid path and file name. And then save the file and restart the launcher or rerun the map. And you should have a JNI trace file from where you can try and narrow down the problem that you're encountering with the Java. If from the JNI trace you notice that you are getting JVM out of memory exception, then you know that you have a Java heap size problem because the data could be huge and that could be causing the problem. In that situation, you can try and increase the Java heap size. To do that, in the INI, there's a JVM options section where you can set the JVM heap sizes. Like as shown in the slide, for example, the JVM heap size, initial heap size is set to 256 and the maximum heap size is set to 512. Typically, the default heap size is 64 MB, and this can easily be exceeded with large messages that you receive to process. So if you notice this kind of a JVM out of memory exception, you know that you need to increase the Java heap size, and you can go to the INI to do that. Please move to slide 27. There's another log file called as the launcher log datetime.log file that is created in the logs folder of the WTX home directory. This log file is generated or created by the Java component of the launcher. Now, the launcher has two parts to it. There's the Java event server or the Java component part and the actual launcher itself. And the Java event server is what runs the launcher. This log file has information regarding the launcher statuses and the launcher command line that is used. There are a couple of examples shown in the slide. Example 1 shows that the system has started successfully and the status is 4, which indicates a successful startup and everything is okay. Example 2 shows the system stopped with result 255. Now, this is a very common error that may be encountered. One thing that you need to note is that the number 255 or any other large numbers that is shown with a result in this particular log file are mostly internal reference numbers that are received from the operating system. So they do not have much relevance or information from the WTX side. So we would need to do further debugging or narrowing down to check the problem or to correct the problem. Now, this 255 could occur due to a host of reasons, the same reasons that we talked previously, like if you are using a resource registry variable in your launcher trigger and the resource registry has not been set up correctly, or if a recently received patched binary has not been applied correctly, or if a client library that is used as a launcher trigger for a client adapter, third-party adapter, is not set up or is not in the path or library path. Any of these reasons could cause the problem, and you could check all of this and see if the problem exists in any of these and then correct it accordingly. And if none of these help to track down the problem, we would need to enable the additional logging, launcher logging that we discussed previously, and then look into that, those are the compound system log files for further debugging and narrowing down of the issue. Please move to slide 28. Also, this launcher log file would have the launcher command line that is used by this Java event server. And typically, for some of the launcher startup issues, there may be situations when you start the launcher, say, from a management console, and the compound-system.txt file or the launcher log file is not created. In those situations, you do not know what kind of error is the launcher encountering. And for those situations, you can get the command line from the launcher log.log file, datetime.log file, from a previous instance of the log file, and then run it on the command line and see if the launcher presents any error, displays any error information. And typically from that error information, you can try and narrow down the problem and try to correct the issue. Please move to slide 29. WTX provides us with certain monitoring tools to monitor the launcher map runs. Management console is one of the monitoring tools from WTX that can be used to monitor the launcher. Now, with the management console, you can start, stop, or pause a system. You can use it to check the number of history of map successes, the history of map failures, if there are any active map components that are currently running, any pending components, the connection statistics, etc. Also, from the management console, you can enable the dynamic adapter facing, and you can also dynamically enable the launcher resource manager and the connections manager tracing, which could help you track down the problems that the launcher is encountering. Please move to slide 30. In this slide, you can see the screenshot of a summary tab of the management console. Now, the summary tab presents us with the summary information of the particular launcher system. And from the screenshot, you can see that it shows us what is the current status of the system, like if it is running, stopped, or paused, etc. If there are any active map components that are currently running, what is the history of map successes, the history of map failures, if there are any function failures that occurred, and the pending components that are still waiting in line to be picked up, etc. Also, please note, only on Windows, you can get the memory usage and the CPU usage information. This is not available for Unix. This is only for Windows. Please note, there is one failure depicted for the map failures, history failures, and there's one history of function failures. Now, you can go to other tabs and see, check for more information on these errors. Please move to slide 31. Here you can see a screenshot of the history tab, which has three sub-tabs: the map failures tab, the adapter connections tab, and the function failures tab. As noted previously in the summary tab, there was one function failures tab. There was one map failures that occurred. To get more information on this map failure, you can go into this history tab, map failures tab, and get more information on the error that's occurring. As seen in the screenshot, you can see the error is occurring with the map component test 2, and the error encountered is 8. And 8 typically indicates an input validation error, which would say that the input being used with the map has an issue. To debug further and narrow down the problem, you would need to enable the map input traces and the data audit settings as required, and then look into those files to try and track down the problem with the input. Please move to the next slide. Here you can see the function failure tab of the history tab. The function, if you had previously noted in the summary tab, there was one function failures that occurred. And going into this function failure tab can show us what kind of function failure is being encountered. As seen in the screenshot, the map component that is encountering the function failures is test 1, and the problem is occurring for a put function in that particular map component with an MQ adapter. So you know the MQ adapter in the map is encountering a problem. Now, to debug further on what kind of a problem is being encountered, you need to enable the adapter trace and look into that file for problem debugging. If you are using management console, you know that you have the feature to enable the dynamic adapter tracing. So you can enable the adapter traces dynamically, and then once the map runs the next time and encounters the problem, you can check into that adapter trace file to see what kind of a problem is being encountered and take appropriate steps to correct the problem. One thing to note here is whenever you enable the dynamic adapter trace, it not only generates the adapter trace for that concerned adapter that you are interested in, but also all the adapters that are currently being used in the map will have the trace information in the same trace file. So these files can be a little big, and you need to check the appropriate sections for the adapter that you are concerned with. Please move to slide 33. Launcher Monitor is another monitoring tool that is available from the WTX management tools. This is more of a visual monitoring tool and does not have all the features that a management console has, but this can provide us also some information in debugging the problems. By default, all map successes are shown with green lines, all map failures with red lines, and all map warnings with yellow lines. You can change the colors as required and customize it as required here. In the monitor, you can take snapshots as well. Snapshots help us to get the history of map runs for that monitor session until the snapshot was taken. So, to take a snapshot, in the launcher monitor menu, you click on the snapshot, and that should take a snapshot and provide you with the history of map runs. Please move to slide 34. To view the the snapshots that have been taken from the launcher monitor, there's a tool available called as the snapshot viewer from the WTX management tools. Here in the screenshot in the slide, you can see an example of the snapshot taken from a monitor and the snapshot viewer viewing the snapshot. With the snapshots taken and viewing it in the snapshot viewer, gives us the history of all the map runs for that monitor session, and right-clicking on any of the map runs will give you the summary audit information for that map instance run. Now, on the screen, on the slide, you can see summary audit information of a map instance run which had a failure with the return code 8, which is input invalidation, which is input validation error. And once you know that you have to turn the input trace on for the map or set the data audit settings and look into those files to further debug the problem. It also displays the number of input and output cards, as you can see on this slide. And you know this map has just one input card, and the INP1.txt is what is encountering the problem. So you can basically go into that file and try and narrow down the problem, or you can enable the map input trace on the data audit settings and then try and track down the problem from there. Please move to slide 35. For several of the issues that you encounter the maps and launcher could be related to resource registry errors. And in order to debug the problems that are encountered with the resource registry, you can set the resource registry trace files and look into those to track down the problem. To set the resource registry trace, you need to set the environment variable DTX log RES alias to a valid path and file name as shown on the slide. And once the resource registry trace file has been generated, you can look into that file to see if all the resource registry variables are being resolved correctly, and if the resource registry configuration file that is being used is the correct file. If you notice any of the variables are not being resolved correctly, you know the problem lies there, and you have to take appropriate steps to try and correct the variable and the settings in the resource registry, and then again restart the launcher and see if the problem is resolved. Please move to slide 36. Now, many of the times you encounter map crashes, launcher crashes, and hangs. Typically, when you encounter crashes and hangs, you would need to provide the core dump information to tech support for analysis. Before doing so, try and see if you can provide a recreatable test case to recreate the problem that of the crash and the hang that you're encountering, as providing a test case can greatly help in debugging and narrowing down the problem very quickly. If not, we will have to depend on the dump information that is available to try and track down the problem. Now, typically when you encounter a crash on Unix environment, there will be a core file that will be generated along with a crash.log, and this will be in the temp folder of the DTX home directory. Once you locate the core file, you need to run an UI script against the core file to generate the UI results and forward it to tech support for analysis. The UI script can be obtained from the WTX support site. And for crashes that you encounter on Windows, you need to send us the dump and the log information for analysis. And depending on the debugger used on the Windows, you need to provide the dump and log from that debugger. Like, for example, if you're using Dr. Watson as the default debugger for your Windows, you need to locate the Dr. Watson dump and log files and then send it to support for analysis. And when you encounter hang issues on your Unix environment, you need to locate the hanging process ID of the launcher and then run the UI script against that process ID 3 times in a 5 minutes interval and then send all the 3 UI results to support for analysis. Now, you need to do this so that we can ensure the hanging process is hanging in the same component or module all the 3 times, and that will help us to further debug on the problem. And typically when you encounter hangs on Windows, it's not so easy as on Unix, so we need to force a core dump for the launcher and then send the dump and log file for analysis. Please move to slide 37. Before you contact tech support to report on any of your issues or to request for any product information, please make sure that to go and check the WTX support site, as the information that you are requesting may already be available there, and doing so will save you a lot of time. The support link has information on tech notes which discuss about the most common issues that are encountered and the resolution for them, the latest release notes and the product documentation and the latest versions of the product, any APARs fixed, etc. Also, the WTX support site has a must gathers link that list some of the basic documentation that is required to be corrected to be sent to tech support for analysis. So please make sure to check the WTX support site and the must-gather section before you report on any issues, as that will help us a lot and save a lot of time. Also, before you report issues, make sure that you have all the information that is needed either to recreate the problem or to debug the problem. Else, we would spend more time on the correspondence and requesting for the same information again and again. Please move to slide 38. Before submitting test cases to tech support for recreation of the problem, try and simplify the test case as much as possible by removing any third-party dependencies that are not required to recreate the issue. You need to do this because if there are third-party environment and configuration that are needed to be done to recreate the problem, that could take a long time for us to recreate the issue, and that will increase the length of time that is needed for debugging and for the resolution. So if the third-party dependencies are not required in recreating the test case, you can remove all of those and just simplify the test case as much as possible and send it to us. If any of the inputs that are being read from the map or from the third-party adapters like the databases or MQ, you can enable the input backups on and then send these backup files for the recreation instead of us recreating those third-party dependency environments. Also, before you submit your UI results for your Unix crashes and hangs, ensure that the archive file, the UI results archive file that you receive, is a valid archive and can be opened. The reason being, several of the times the archive files that we receive may not be valid and it may be corrupted for some of the reasons. And if it is, then we'll have to request for this information again, which may or may not be available because the problem may not occur all the time. So we may have to wait for the reoccurrence of the problem like the hang or the crash issue the next time and then again run the UI results and provide the same. So ensuring that the archive file is created is a valid one will save us a lot of time. Please move to slide 39. So in summary, for the map failures and issues that you encounter, you would enable and check the audit logs to narrow down the problem, to see what kind of problem is it. If it is input and output issues, you can enable the input-output traces and check in them as well. And for problems that you're encountering with adapters, you can enable and check the adapter traces. And also you can use the data audit settings and look into them to check your input issues. If you are encountering design-related problems, you can use the map debugger and step into the rules and see how the logic is being parsed and try and track down the problem. And for all your adapter issues that you are encountering, you can enable and check the adapter traces to try to narrow down the problem. Please go to slide 40. And for launcher issues and failures that you are encountering, you can enable and check the component system or the MSL.txt files. You can enable and check the launcher log files or the resource history trace files and try and narrow down the problem. Also, you can make use of the WTX monitoring tools like the management console and launcher monitor and take snapshots as necessary. Please note, taking snapshots in launcher monitor not only provides you with the history of map runs, it can also help in tracking down problems which involve several map runs. Like, for example, if you have 10 map runs, it can give us a sequence of the maps that are being run in that particular launcher, and taking snapshots can provide us that information. So snapshots will help us a lot in debugging the problem. Please move to slide 41. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcast and conference information. Visit the WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notifications link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. So with this, we come to the end of this presentation. Thank you, everyone, for attending. Hope the session was useful.
Thank you, Arun and Phil, for a great presentation. At this point, Ashley, we would like to open the lines for questions.
The first question will come from Nihu Kalyan. Your line is open. Hi, Arun, and nice presentation. My one first question is, looking through your presentation, and when you said we can enable the resource registry traces, where do I set the variable to be enabled? Is it in the DTX.ini?
No, you will not set this in the DTX. Basically, the resource registry trace is an environment variable setting. So for Windows, you basically go to the control panel and go to the environment variables section and then set an environment variable. And for Unix, you need to export the variable, like you need to export DTX log RES alias and then set it to a path and file name.
Okay.
This would not be in
the so for that, I need to have the accesses to the particular directories in Unix.
Not particular directories. You just need to have permissions or access to set the environment variable. Typically, most of the users will have that.
Okay. And the second question I wanted to ask was, I tried to, when I import a schema using the TypeTree importer to create TypeTree, it comes back with some kind of errors and warning. How can I get a detailed list of the warnings and errors which occurs during an import process?
It should create a log. Did it create a log?
No, it didn't.
It would be in the WTX installation directory.
Oh, it would be not in the workspace which I create where I am trying to create the type trees. Won't it be there?
Probably not. When you are importing, most of the information that is available would be presented in the type tree analysis or error information, or there should be a log file that would be created in the install folder. So check the log file over there.
What is the name of the log file, Arun?
Not sure of the exact naming. Why? Because there's no type tree created at that point of time. So I would guess it would be with something like import.
I have a couple of logs that are right when I ran it, maybe that created it. So one of the logs is ttmaker.log. Maybe that's the one I should be.
Yes.
If you're using
maybe
that. That would be ttmaker.log. But if you're using importer, I'm not sure if that is the
log. It would be created. Yeah, ttmaker is a log.
Okay.
The next question will come from Shirley Rice. Your line is open.
Hi. I'm just curious a little bit more about the dynamic trace enabling through the management console. Is there documentation available on how the step-by-step instructions on how to do that?
Right. Hi, Shirley. Yeah, sure. If you go to the launcher documentation for the management console, for the management tools section, that will have information on how you can enable the dynamic adaptive tracing as well as the dynamic logging features for the launcher, resource manager, and the connections manager. All you need to do is, in the management console, you need to go to the trace and log menu section and then click on the appropriate features to get the trace that you're looking for. Like if it's a debug or an error, those things you can set it there.
Okay, sounds easy enough. All right, thank you.
Sure.
And at this time, I'm showing no further questions.
Thank you, Ashley. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.